Support for this podcast comes from the Fletcher School of Global Affairs at Tufts University. To start your future as a global changemaker, you must have context across fields like international business, cybersecurity, energy policy, and more. Don't just study global affairs, shape them. Visit fletcher.tufts.edu.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. News this afternoon, the State Gaming Commission voted down a proposed $677 million casino in Brockton. The decision eliminates a major obstacle for a nearby Taunton casino planned by the Mashpee Wampanoag tribe. We'll have complete analysis about this at about half past the hour. But let's start today with the latest in WBUR's special series about the region's traffic woes that we're calling driving us crazy. Today, we're going to look at traffic's effect on your health. There's your heart, your lungs, and your weight, of course, which we'll talk about later. And there's also the risk of injury and death on our increasingly crowded streets. So we're going to imagine a city with zero traffic fatalities. You heard me right. Zero injuries, zero crashes. Can such a city exist? Well, according to Mayor Marty Walsh, it should be Boston. That's the premise of Vision Zero, an initiative to eliminate all car-related fatalities and injuries by the year 2030. Here he is speaking this past February about the project.
We need to understand that this is the responsibility that everybody shares. I'm asking everyone who uses Boston streets to pledge to slow down and to drive carefully.
That's you, Boston drivers, he's talking about. But really, a world without traffic fatalities? Is it possible? And how would we achieve it? Call us with your ideas at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. You can also send us a tweet at Radio Boston. Now, the Vision Zero concept began in Sweden back in 1997. John Whiteleg is an associate with the Stockholm Environmental Institute, and he joins us now from just outside of Stockholm. John Whiteleg, welcome to Radio Boston.
Hi, hello, thank you.
So first of all, you know, can you just describe in broad terms what Sweden's Vision Zero is? What is really the goal here?
Vision Zero was introduced rather unusually by a full debate and vote in the National Parliament of Sweden in 1997, when after a lot of discussion amongst professionals and with so-called citizen groups, the Parliament decided that the only acceptable target for road traffic fatalities was zero. They decided that one death is one death too many. They decided that all the so-called targets that have been adopted before that date, you know, we will reduce death and injury by 30% by such a year, by 50% by such a year, that these were basically unethical and were in effect the same as accepting death and injury on a scale that was unacceptable. And they took their cue, in fact, from the World Health Organization, that based in Geneva in Switzerland, who for many years have been saying that all road traffic accidents are predictable and preventable.
Right.
So if you put together predictable and preventable with something like one death is one death too many, you end up with the particular Swedish approach, Vision Zero. So the target is zero. Everything that can be thought of that will contribute to achieving that target is implemented.
Well, John, if I may jump in here. That's a critical point, because to achieve this vision, it requires cooperation between government officials, between individuals, drivers, cyclists, pedestrians, between those people who are designing traffic systems in Sweden, and also from the private sector. I mean, I hear Volvo is involved as well. So it's a very all-encompassing vision that requires buy-in from just about every sector of Swedish society.
Yeah, I mean, some people, I think, call this the big tent approach. I'm not sure what that means, actually, but it means that everybody has got to bring something to the table. Everybody has a role to play. Everybody has a responsibility. And this doesn't mean we criticize the so-called road safety establishment. I mean, in Britain, we have a very well-developed road safety establishment, but road safety officers work in their particular silo. The police work in their silo. Road engineers design roads in their silo, accident and emergency specialists in hospitals working there, and so on. Mm. And what Vision Zero says is, look, we will now have total safe systems total safe systems that are everything to do with road design, everything to do with vehicle design, everything to do with driver behavior, everything to do with regulations and the duties of drivers, if you like. For example, speed is critical. Everything will combine together to produce a really, really, really good chance of getting this down to zero.
Well, John, let me ask you, I understand that there's an example of, you have an example very near where you live about how this works, because I'm trying to think practically, how does one enact all this? Because what I'm hearing underlie your description of Vision Zero is that there's this difference between what maybe Americans typically think as finding fault with a situation versus thinking about responsibility overall about how to improve traffic situations. Yeah. And I understand you have an example of a small one of how that worked on a roadway near your house?
Yeah, first of all, the point you just made, we have to improve the total system. The other thing the Swede says is that the Swedish government say is a mistake in the road traffic environment should never attract the death penalty. You know, people make mistakes. We know that. There's no point dodging it. So the example that I think you're referring to, and the one that I often use in these discussions, is that not frequently, but very often, a pedestrian is seriously injured or killed when crossing a complicated junction, you know, where you might have four different sort of possible turning movements for vehicles. And sometimes in America, like in Britain, you press a button and you wait for a green thing to go beep, 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 and it tells you to cross the road. But very often those are on different phases for what we would call different arms, different bits of the junction. The thing that has been found to be really effective is have a system of traffic lights, where everything is red for every vehicle coming from every direction, no matter which way they're turning. So a pedestrian can cross diagonally, left to right, right to left, walk right across the middle of the road. You know, basically the pedestrian is totally safe. And that kind of innovation is a classic Swedish zero, Vision Zero thing in Sweden, because they analyze the pattern of death and injury. They say, can we do anything to basically slice off this particular bit of the road safety sausage? You know, can we get rid of that particular kind of circumstance where pedestrians are killed? And they do it. They do the speed limitation, you know, so 20 mile per hour or 30 kilometer per hour. So basically, you have to keep upping the game. You have to keep doing different things every year to take you that much further to zero.
Right. Well, I'm seeing that Sweden has been rather effective in this, that they have currently, what, 3 deaths per 100,000 people in Sweden as compared to the EU's average of 5.5, and as compared to the American average, which is closer to 11.4 deaths per 100,000 people. So they seem to be onto something here. John Whiteleg, joining us from just outside of Stockholm, Sweden. Stand by for just a moment, because I want to bring in some voices from Boston and another American city that's adopted the Vision Zero idea. So first, let's bring in Gina Fiandaca. She's the commissioner for the Boston Transportation Department. Gina, welcome back to the show.
Welcome. Thank you.
It's great to have you. Also with us today is Ryan Russo. He's the New York City Department of Transportation's Deputy Commissioner for Transportation Planning and Management. And New York as well has adopted Vision Zero thinking. Ryan Russo, welcome to you.
Thanks for having us.
So, Gina, first of all, let me start with you. You just heard John Whiteleg describe in quite a bit of detail sort of the all-encompassing mindset, more than anything, that goes into making Vision Zero a reality with reducing the number of traffic-related fatalities and injuries. Do you think we can achieve that total mindset here in Boston?
Well, thank you so much for the opportunity for this conversation. As Mayor Walsh has indicated, Vision Zero is the city's goal to eliminate serious crashes and traffic fatalities. You know, certainly looking at the principles of Vision Zero with an emphasis placed on implementing design changes that lower speeds and create safer street crossings, is a tenet of Vision Zero and something that we have completely embraced here, along with reducing speed.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, just to underscore the need for this in Boston, in 2014, more than 1,200 people required emergency services due to pedestrian or bicyclist crashes on Boston roads. And between 2010 and 2014, some 79 people were killed in a motor vehicle, bicycle, or pedestrian crash. So clearly, there's a need for it. But what do you think the sort of first immediate, you know, Vision Zero is a long-term vision that Boston wants to achieve by 2030. What would you like to see the city do, you know, in 2017, 2018 to get closer to that?
Well, we've already taken some steps to lead us toward that goal. We also believe, you know, one is too many. And without the aspirational goal of reaching zero, you know, we want to hit that target. And we believe that clearly reducing speeds is a conversation that we're looking forward to having with the legislature, as well as the issue of distracted driving, but also implementing some design changes on our streets and engaging the community in a robust conversation about how we can all join in achieving this zero vision.
Yeah, so the speed limit reduction, the Boston City Council just voted unanimously this week to lower the speed limit on some of the more congested streets from down to 20 miles an hour from 30 and down to 15 miles an hour in school zones. But of course, Gina, as you know, the mayor has to sign off on that, and so does the state legislature. But Ryan Russo in New York City, let me turn to you. Vision Zero has been in place in New York for, 2 years now? And how That's have right. the first couple of years gone?
Well, we couldn't be more satisfied or happy with how Vision Zero is going because we've had a fatality reduction from nearly 300 traffic fatalities in 2013, the year before Vision Zero, to 233 a 22% decline in 2015. For pedestrians, that decline was 27%. We had 45 fewer pedestrians killed on our streets. So Vision Zero has had an immediate impact. It's really the result of the mayor, Mayor de Blasio's leadership and support of this and the engagement of the families of people who've lost their lives to traffic crashes. Being engaged and really pushing the city to develop a comprehensive and robust strategy around this issue.
Well, so can you give me some specific examples of, say, infrastructure changes that, that New York City has made in the first couple years here?
Sure, absolutely. We have, first of all, we achieved a reduction in our citywide default speed limit from 30 miles an hour to 25 miles an hour, and that was done through a law passed at the state level. We had authorization to do speed zone cameras in 140 school zones throughout the city where people receive a violation for exceeding the speed limit by 10 miles an hour. And we have aggressively ramped up what had become a very well-known street reengineering program where we had done about 30 or 40 projects a year to do the things that your other guest was talking about, reengineering our streets for better walking and cycling. We ramped that up we committed to over 50 projects a year. We did in the year we just completed 80 projects all over our city to make the streets safer and more walkable, including a signature project along Queens Boulevard, a street that had a reputation as the known as the Boulevard of Death. We did what we call an operational redesign, a very quick project with paint, marking, signs, some crosswalks, and a protected bike lane on a street that really no one could kind of imagine being radically redesigned in that way.
Well, John Whiteleg in Sweden, let me turn back to you because, you know, I'm hearing both from Gina Fiandaca here with us in Boston and from Ryan Russo in New York City. We're, you know, obviously here in American cities, we're at the beginning of the Vision Zero project. And the sort of operational changes or the physical changes are fairly easy or easier to identify because, you know, they're part of the physical fabric of Boston and New York. But with the Swedish example, I'm wondering about how important human behavior is to achieving Vision Zero, because ultimately, until we have autonomous vehicles, it's a human being behind the wheel of a car. It's a human being zipping through across traffic lanes on a bicycle. It's a human being in Boston dashing across the street. Certainly changing that behavior has to be essential.
I think changing behavior is at the heart of the Swedish Vision Zero program, and they achieve that. I mean, first of all, the point's about 20 miles per hour, which is what we normally aim for in Vision Zero discussions. The point about 20 miles per hour is if you do that over a very, very, very wide area. So in fact, what you're trying to avoid, unfortunately, Britain is backward in this sense. We tend to do 20 miles per hour on individual streets or a street near a school, or, you know, in other words, choosing streets. So on one journey in Britain, you would you would drive at 20 or 30 or 40 miles per hour and back to 30 or 20. And that creates confusion, creates uncertainty, and does not change behavior. The point is, the bigger the area. So I was involved with the county. In England, we have county administrations. The county of Lancashire, population 1.6 million. And Lancashire has a total 20-mile-per-hour speed limit now. And we find that what that has done is alter mindsets, alter behavior. Drivers know that 20-mile-per-hour is a safe speed. They know that it's consistently applied, and they know that it's general. So that changes behavior. But the Swedes are even smarter than that. I mean, I'm British, so I have nothing to gain by praising the Swedes. In Sweden, if you take the driving test, for example, is far more strenuous, severe, robust than anything we have in Britain. So one of the things, if you're learning to drive in Sweden, it's very intensive. You can spend weeks and weeks and weeks on theory and practice and all sorts of different things. But drivers have to understand Vision Zero.
Uh-huh.
They're taught about Vision Zero. They're told a driver has no rights. You have no rights at all if you're a driver. You have responsibilities.
Uh-huh.
And this is hammered into the whole structure of learning to drive. So what the Swedes are doing is quite unique. It's certainly very different to Britain and very different to Germany, where I also work.
I can tell you it's a world apart from Massachusetts, John. I mean, I'm serious. And I love this idea of teaching about a sense of responsibility from, you know, even before someone gets their driver's permit, let alone being fully licensed.
Yeah.
But Ryan Russo, let me turn back to you in New York, because on this idea of having a sense of responsibility amongst pedestrians, cyclists, and drivers of all stripes as a centerpiece of Vision Zero. I mean, I was looking that, you know, certain New Yorkers have already pushed back against this idea, because there was a case in which a New York City bus driver was arrested on misdemeanor charges after his bus hit a young pedestrian who was crossing the street. And the drivers' union pushed back and said that that drivers, bus drivers, were being disgracefully and unfairly, quote, scapegoated and targeted under the Vision Zero plan. So how do you handle that when you're already getting pushback on questions of responsibility and liability?
I think that speaks to the challenge and the task under Vision Zero around culture change. And you go back 30 years and having a few drinks at a party and getting behind the wheel and driving home with something, and maybe talking about how you were tipsy when you did it, was something you would giggle about and laugh about and was considered something socially acceptable to do. That changed thanks to an education campaign, an enforcement campaign, and laws that were passed. And the change didn't come easy. And Vision Zero is about taking that next step, that reckless driving, speeding, failing to yield to pedestrians, that those types of behaviors need to be sort of considered in the same way. We need to enter that consciousness sort of the same way.
But I see that the New York City Bus Drivers Union is asking for the city council there to pass a bill exempting bus drivers from a law that would charge them when pedestrians are injured.
Right, exactly. And I think we really need to sort of change hearts and minds here. And in New York, it's speeding and it's failure to yield on turn. And our police department has been sort of focusing under the Vision Zero strategy on speed enforcement and failure to yield enforcement, actually giving out lots of tickets when people don't yield to a pedestrian when they're turning and they have the walk sign, and then we have our automated enforcement program there, which really amounts to, you know, frequent sort of slaps on the wrist. You don't get points on your license, or you don't get the insurance costs of those sorts of things. It's the equivalent of a parking ticket, but those violations are the sort of, in essence, the stick along with the vision and the discussion around Vision Zero about how we need to prevent these really preventable tragedies on our streets.
Yeah.
And the culture change, it's not going to be easy. It's going to go in fits and starts, two steps forward, one step back.
Well, if I can just jump in here. I'm sorry. I just want to bring Gina Fiandaca back in here because Ryan Russo is making a really interesting point that made me wonder, Gina. I mean, Boston, of course, doesn't sit alone in isolation. There are obvious challenges regarding, you know, the state has relationships the city has relationships with surrounding municipalities and the state itself. Like, perhaps there are some tools that Boston can't use, like law changes that could affect could get us closer to Vision Zero, but we don't necessarily have those options.
Right. I mean, we are looking forward to having a conversation with our legislators around speed, as well as around distracted driving. But really, one of the centerpieces of the Vision Zero imperative has been the composition of the Vision Zero Task Force, where we've been able to bring together not only members of the city government, the Public Works Department, Police Department, Emergency Medical Services, the Public Health Commission, but also our partners in the community as well as with state agencies. So everyone shares the same goal and moves us toward that Vision Zero imperative. Data has been a key part of the imperative here. The police department has hired a data analyst, and we're able to share that data with all of our sister agencies. We have a safety concerns map that's allowed us to really expand our reach beyond our own community borders,
right,
so that the public can weigh in and tell us, where do they not feel safe?
Well, Gina, on that point, I mean, I actually think we have got a caller who's got a perfect example in mind. So let's turn to Marcia, who's calling from the Back Bay. Marcia, you're on the air.
Hi, I live in the Back Bay, and on Newberry Street, numerous places in my neighborhood, there are these walk signs where the cars still have the ability to turn. You were just talking about this. And I'm constantly almost being threatened by the cars as you're walking across the street. There's no other way to cross. These are busy intersections, so you wait for the walk sign, and then the car is literally doing a tango with you while you're crossing. And my children live in this neighborhood. I don't understand why you should ever have a walk sign where cars are allowed to be in that intersection while you're there.
Yeah. Marcia, thank you so much for your call. Gina Fiandaca, let me ask you just briefly, you may have already said this, but your line's a little bit rough. So if folks like Marcia have feedback for the city, where could they send it?
They can go to the city's website, cityofboston.gov, and log on to the Vision Zero safety concerns map, and exactly pinpoints that location as well as her specific issue. With regard to the traffic signals, that's something that is really one of the principles of Vision Zero and helping us to inform where are those locations and those intersections where we can improve the pedestrian experience.
Right. Well, we've just got a couple seconds to go, and I want to wrap up with John Whiteleg speaking to us from just outside of Stockholm, because John, Sweden's been doing this since 1997 officially as national policy. So take us back to, you know, and we here in Boston and New York are just starting. So take us back to, you know, the beginning of Sweden's efforts. If you were in Boston or New York now, where would you suggest we focus our efforts?
I think the focus has already emerged from your the people talking to us from New York and Boston. Speed limitation, sorting out traffic junctions, clarity is crucial. So in the Swedish system, you've got great clarity on turning movements of vehicles, pedestrian rights, organizing the whole system so that risk and danger are stripped out of the system. Mm-hmm. So the starting point is really to identify the points in the system in Boston, New York, or wherever, where there's risk and danger, identify that from the data, and eliminate the risk and the danger, reward the pedestrians and the cyclists, make sure the drivers are behaving in a socially acceptable manner, and make sure everybody talks to each other and shares the responsibility. The police, the city engineers, people that design roads, people that maintain roads, and so on.
Right.
And the thing about Sweden is, it works. It is successful. Sweden is the best performer in all 28 European countries.
Right.
It beats everyone else. It works.
Well, and you know, I was looking at some interviews from folks in Seattle who are also embracing Vision Zero, and a traffic expert there said, no one would accept homicide as a byproduct of living in the city, and no one should accept a traffic fatality as a byproduct of our commute. So, John Whiteleg, associate at the Stockholm Environmental Institute, speaking to us today from just outside of Stockholm, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
And Gina Fiandaca, the commissioner of the Boston Transportation Department, great to have you again, Gina. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And Ryan Russo, New York City Department of Transportation Deputy Commissioner for Planning and Management. Great to speak with you, Mr. Russo. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks very much. Have a great one.
And listeners, send us your ideas on how Boston can get closer to Vision Zero. Send us a comment at radioboston.org, or you can always send us a tweet at Radio Boston. We'll be back in just a minute. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.